The following meditations on the Sacrament of Reconciliation for Priests come to you from the Institute for Priestly Formation located at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. We hope that these reflections will assist priests in their ongoing formation to come to a deeper grasp of the grace within the sacrament for both themselves and the penitents who come to encounter Jesus in its healing power.
I'm Bishop Andrew Cousins, and I'm the Auxiliary Bishop in St. Paul, Minneapolis. Privileged to be able to speak to you today a little bit about the ministry of the priest as a confessor.
Bishop, it's great to be with you. My name is Father Scott Trainer. I'm a priest of the Diocese of Sioux Falls, serving as the rector of St. John Vianney Theological Seminary in Denver.
We wanted to just reflect for a few minutes today on how the priest needs the skills of discernment when he is hearing confessions. And really, just wanted to begin by talking about the priest's own kind of spiritual attitude. Obviously, the priest wants to be an instrument of Christ's healing in the sacrament of confession, and so he wants to be not only listening to the person to whom who is coming to confession, but he wants to be listening to the Holy Spirit and listening to how Jesus wants to work through him in his ministry in that moment in the confessional. And what the priest needs to begin to develop flows from his own prayer life. It's that experience that happens when he's in the presence of Christ, and as he's in the presence of Christ, he begins to sense in his own heart the movements that Jesus himself uses to speak to him. So when he's in the confessional, he doesn't approach this simply as a time to hear confessions, but actually as a time of prayer. And he's prepared by maybe saying some prayers and, you know, even praying to St. Michael and to Our Lady, and he's preparing that spiritual space so that it's an encounter of prayer that happens as he is preparing to hear confessions, so that he's sensitive to the movements of the Holy Spirit in him even as he begins.
You know, I find as I'm preparing to go to confession, the importance of having this disposition of prayer, and in particular, to try and let my heart rest in the particular place where I'm having a tangible experience of God's love for me. Where is God's consolation moving in my heart? And sometimes that can be difficult to identify specifically. Pay attention to that particular movement of gratitude in my heart, particular place of consolation or repetition in my heart. That really helps me to listen to the experience of the penitent as they come for confession. And thanks be to God, right? The person is coming for confession. We know that the Spirit of God is moving in their heart to receive his forgiveness. And whatever their disposition as they're making their confession, whether they're manifesting obvious trust and security in God's unconditional love as they're acknowledging their sins, or maybe they're full of fear or apprehension or shame or whatever it is, I want to be able to listen into their experience and try to detect, where is the Spirit of God in particular moving in their heart? Well, if my heart is focused in my own experience where God is loving me and blessing me, when I'm listening to the penitent, where God is moving in their heart will kind of jump out and be amplified because the Spirit of God is one and it resonates with the love of God. What God is doing in the heart of this penitent is going to resonate with what God is doing in my heart, although they're obviously different realities.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the way it works. And what you point out that's great there, Father Scott, is actually, what am I supposed to be listening for? Mm. So I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, and I'm actually listening not just to what the person is saying, not just to what the sins are, but I'm listening to, where is the Holy Spirit working already? So as you said, what's the grace that's bringing them today? I think the other thing I find myself listening for, too, is, where are the obstacles in this person's heart to the Lord? And in the sins that they're confessing, as I'm trying to do this deeper listening in the Spirit, where are the obstacles that I might be able to see to help them focus on those obstacles? And, of course, we know normally those obstacles come up in the form of like wounds that a person is carrying, and certain lies that they accept about themselves, and they're acting out of those lies. So lies about their own self-image, lies about the way that God sees them. And oftentimes, as they're confessing certain sins, I can begin to see a pattern that actually there's a whole lie beneath this that a person needs to be able to acknowledge in order to receive God's healing. And so then I can give my counsel or even ask more questions about that particular lie to try to expose it into the light and to point out how it doesn't accord with the truth of how Jesus sees them in this particular moment. So it's really learning in the Spirit that deeper listening, both to what are the graces and what are the lies.
God always labors to console us. So as I'm listening to the person and their own self-awareness and how they're describing it, does this thought, does this feeling, does this desire, does that bear the hallmark of the consoling Spirit of God? Or is it a hallmark of the enemy? And I think the more that as priest confessors, we can be steeped in the understanding and the lived experience of applying the rules of discernment, we help the person recognize what in their interior experience is coming from God and the healthy heart parts of their own human heart, and what is clearly coming from the enemy. And then to encourage them to keep turning back to God and allow God to dispel whatever is not of Him in the interior movements of their heart.
And the goal of this all is that we would really come to see ourselves the way God sees us. And when we receive the way that God sees us, that's when we are able to be strong against sin in the future, because the lies of how I see myself have been dispelled, and so I accept my true identity as a beloved daughter of God or as a beloved son of God. And when I'm able to see that, then I'm going to be able to be much stronger against sin as I go out. And so it's precisely allowing the person to see which of their thoughts and feelings don't accord with the truth of how God sees them. And when they can make that truth connection and then renounce the lie, it begins to set them free. A great example of this is just what you see in the Gospels. You know, you never find anywhere in the Gospels where someone comes to the Lord with a repentant heart and the Lord says, you know, why'd you do that? You know, you could have done better. You do the same thing all the time. Why are you that way? You just never find any kind of condemnation or shame coming from the Lord towards someone who comes with a repentant heart. What you find is always this invitation to receive this incredible gift of love. And so it just lets me know that all that shame and self-condemnation, which I might bring to the sacrament of confession, that's not the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's rooted actually in the same wound that is leading me to sin, which is the wound where I don't see myself the way God sees me.
You know, I remember, Bishop, when I was a seminarian, wondering what it would be like to hear confessions and wanting and being concerned that I was always communicating the reality of God's unconditional love for the penitent, but worried about how I might react as a confessor to certain sins that could possibly be confessed. And one of the great graces in priesthood has been the experience alive in my own heart for the person who's coming to God with trust, seeking the forgiveness of their sins. The things that I think if I would hear outside this confession would turn me to anger, or, you know, just like, what are you, you know, mm-hmm. that I find always my heart dominated by a sense of love for this person. And I know that's a reflection in my heart of the reality of God's love for them.
Yeah, and the reality I certainly experience, Father Scott, as you're saying, is the leaving of the confessional with this incredible gratitude for God's mercy. And the experience that that's real for me, and that that's actually the reality from which I'm to see the whole world. And so as I walk out of the confessional, I begin to see the whole world newly because of this profound experience of God's mercy for these people. And that it's that mercy that's really the source of our hope. I think that the more we learn to receive from God and from through the Holy Spirit, Jesus' own heart for these penitents, the more he's going to give us that discernment that allows us to show up that discord, you know? Where's this thing that when it's said in the confession or when I pick it up, I recognize that's not the truth of the way the Lord is. And when I sense that, then I can name it, and we can begin to renounce it, expel it, and let the truth of the Lord's love come in. So it's very much connected to my own heart and my own openness to the Holy Spirit in my whole life, which helps me to be a better confessor.
I remember the first time in my life that instead of me looking at myself and sort of assessing and judging my sins according to the commandments, that the reality of sin in my heart, and you know, every sin is nothing other than a pulling away from the love of God, that sin in my heart was revealed by an overwhelming experience of God's love. It was like a brilliant sunny day shining on a rock that casts a very clear and sharp and distinct shadow. And it totally changed in that moment the way I went to confession, because there wasn't like the self-recrimination, the shame, the beating myself up. I was, because my sin had been revealed in the light of God's love for me, I knew I was a loved sinner. And so I was just eager to run to the sacrament of reconciliation and allow Jesus to remove that obstacle in my poverty. I know I can't take this obstacle away myself. I'm so grateful for that experience I had on retreat one time as a seminarian, as it's informed my life as a confessor, to encourage people to keep going back to the experience of God's love for them, trusting that that love will bring about the most profound and complete conversion in their lives and set them free to live the truth of who they are as God's beloved son or daughter.
Thank you for listening. There are more resources for you on the IPF website. Just click on the Resources button and find IPF publications, videos, talks, and more features to assist you in your priestly life and ministry.